I was already reminded this week that we have all the little children in here. We don't have any extended session. So I wrote a good four-hour sermon that will put them to sleep in no time at all. We've been going through this series, All In, and what we've been talking about is that when someone says they're all in, they're committed. They're fully committed. You know, it's not like this. We're not testing the waters. What we're saying is when it comes to Christianity, we're leaving where we were, and we are all in. We are fully committed to what we believe, to who Christ calls us to be. And clearly, Jesus was all in. I mean, in Luke 9, we're told that he sets his face toward Jerusalem. He is all in. He is not lacking commitment, that he is going to go to the cross. He is going to die so that you and I might know God. So, as we look at chapter 20 today, and I want to remind you that I'm trying to preach through a chapter a week. I went back and looked. I started preaching in Luke chapter 3 because I didn't cover the birth narrative, but I started preaching in chapter 3 and went through chapter 11, and that took 81 sermons. Now we're trying to do one chapter every week, and so you need to listen fast, okay? Because we're going to cover a lot of material today. But I want us to pray, and then I want us to read God's Word, and we're going to jump into this chapter, Luke chapter 20. And you're going to want to have your Bibles open because I'm going to show you some things. Hopefully you'll mark some things down, and hopefully you're taking notes, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to us. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that in our lives you are lifted high. Far too often, we are concerned and consumed with lifting ourselves up, with our reputation, with our glory. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness for that, because we want to make much of your name, much of who you are, what you've done. And Lord, I pray today as we open your word and read that, Lord, we will be challenged, we will be convicted, we will be encouraged, that, Lord, you were all in. From before time began, you had already planned how you were going to save your people. And Lord, I pray that we would be a reflection of that, that we would be all in. No holding back. Lord, I pray today you would show us where we are missing the mark. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading, the preaching, and the listening of your word. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor God's word? Luke chapter 20. We're just going to read the first 8 verses. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is it that gave you this authority?" He answered them, "I will also ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Well, why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Would you please be seated? I hope some of you, at least, you know, by the way, I'm going to clue you in. Next week is chapter 21. And you can read that beforehand. And as I began to read chapter 20, what struck me was that over and over, I see chapter 20 as a chapter of questions. I see people asking Jesus questions, and I see Jesus asking them questions. And so, if I had to take this chapter and sum it up, which I do have to because that's what I'm doing this morning, I would say it's a chapter of questions. So if you, again, if you want to write in your Bible at the caption there, you could say this is a chapter of questions. And you're going to see these questions. By what authority do you do these things, Jesus? You're going to see the question, is it lawful for us to pay tribute to Caesar? And you're even going to see a question about, hey, if a woman has married seven brothers in the resurrection, who's she married to? How does that work out? And I'm not sure you're aware of this, but a lot of times when people ask questions, they're not really asking that question. They're asking something different. They're asking other questions. And I hope today that we're going to see some of the questions behind the questions. What is it that they're really getting at? What do they want to know? Are they really asking about the authority? Are they really asking about giving money to Caesar? What is the real issue there? Are they really interested in who this woman is going to be married to in the resurrection? And if you've read the chapter, you know they don't even believe in the resurrection. So is that really what they're interested in? So if I was going to say today, if you're all in, one of the things that you must be ready for is that you are going to be asked questions. You're going to be. And you may say, well, no, I've been asked questions. Well, I got news for you. Maybe you don't appear, or maybe you're not all in. Because when you are all in, you are irritating to other people who are not in. You're irritating. They don't like that. And I can prove that very quickly. Y'all know I'm a huge football fan. I like other sports, but I love football. I am a little bit, just a little bit depressed once the Super Bowl happens, because then I got to wait until next fall for football. And I love football. And the thing about it is, when you see football fans that are all in, and they're all in for a team that you're not all in for, they are irritating. I don't want to sit by these guys in the football stadium. Why are you wearing that? I mean, what made you get up that morning and go, this is what I'm going to do? Now, I don't think it would be wrong to sit by, you know, these guys here. I think that would be great. Yeah. These are good people. By the way, they're even more all in than me. I would love to go to the games, but I'm not going to dress up for them. But when you're all in, you stand out. Not everybody in the stands looks like those guys. But when you're all in, people are going to notice. And you're going to be irritating to them. And teenagers, you've seen these slides over and over on Wednesday night, because when you're all in and you look different. By the way, again, those fans, that's not the typical fan at a football game. That's people who are way over the top. But I wonder if we've ever been accused of that in our Christianity. Man, they are all in. And when you stand out, you are going to be asked questions. You are going to be attacked. As I've shared before, that zebra that's multicolored, if that zebra was real and out in the wild, that's the first one the lion is going to get, because he stands out. He doesn't blend in with everyone else. So when you're all in, you are going to be asked questions. And one of the questions you're going to be asked is this: who or what gives you the right? Who or what gives you the right? That's the first thing they ask him. By what authority do you do these things? Do you say these things? And I want to remind you, this is where the very first question came into the Garden of Eden against the Lord. You remember Satan goes to Adam and Eve, goes to Eve specifically and says, did God really say you couldn't eat of any of the trees? And you remember that Eve quickly narrows it down. No, we can eat of these, but not this one, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't eat of that one. Matter of fact, we're not even supposed to touch it. Again, it's a little over the top. That's not what God said. But she said, we can't even touch it. And you remember, Satan tells him, if you eat of this tree, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, when you go back and look at the Hebrew, it's not just that they will go, ah, yes, that's good and that's evil. That's not what that means. What it means is that if you eat of this tree, what he's telling them is, you'll have the authority to determine what is good and evil. You'll have that authority. And here's the deal. They wanted that authority. And by the way, the scribes, the priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they wanted the authority to determine what was good and evil. This is all about power. That's what this question is all about. Why do you get to say and do these things when we haven't approved of this? And this is all about power. They do not want to give up power. They don't. By what authority do you say these things? By what authority do we, as God's people, say what is right and wrong? By what authority do we speak of heaven and hell? By what authority do we judge? Oh, yeah, judging. No, you're not supposed to judge. Judge not. It's amazing that people who completely remove Scripture, don't want anything to do with the Bible, they will adhere to that. By what authority do we judge what is right and wrong? Well, if you're all in, the Lord is the final authority and God's Word is the final authority. That is the authority by which we make the statements that we make, by the way that we live, the way that we live. That is the final authority. Again, remember when Jesus Christ, He has died on the cross, He's risen from the dead, He is about to go into heaven. He does not say, I'm about to leave, go and make disciples of all nations. And you're going, no, he did say that. And he did, but right before that, what did he say? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I have all the authority, therefore you go and do this. We do what we do and we say what we say because we have been given authority by God to do it. Jesus knew this was a huge problem. Men and women, boys and girls, we do not want to give up authority in our lives. We want to proclaim that we know what's best for us, we know what's right for us, and then we justify what we do without going to the authority of God. So Jesus asked the question, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? By the way, they knew that John was baptizing. You'll remember in Matthew, it's recorded, they went out to go see it. And so we get the predicament that they're in. So if I may, just for a minute, this is them sitting around going, well, let me think. If we say it's from heaven, that means that John has authority from God. And if we believe that John had authority from God, what did John say about Jesus? That's the Messiah. And if he has authority from God to baptize and make that proclamation, and we discredit it, we don't believe that, so we can't say that. We can't. And if we do say that it was from heaven, guess what we lose? Power and authority. So we can't say that. But we can't say that it's from man, because if we say it's from man, then they'll kill us. And we just lost power and authority. So they said, we can't say anything. So if you don't want to give up authority, if you don't want to give up power, there's only one solution. Kill Jesus. And by the way, that's exactly what we do when we give up that power and authority. The reason the world doesn't give up that power and authority, and they have no solution to that, is they must say, we got to get rid of Jesus. We don't believe he existed. We don't believe he died on the cross. We don't believe he rose from that. They got to get rid of him. And so that's what they decide to do. They're going to get rid of Christ. By the way, when this is happening, you're less than a week from Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus knows their plans, so he warns them. He tells them a parable, the wicked tenants. I do not have time to get into that parable. It's a lot of what we've already looked at. And if you want to know what this parable is talking about, there you go. He tells them, look, God has this vineyard, which is Israel. You were left to tend it, the leaders, the spiritual leaders. You were left to tend this garden, this vineyard. And I've sent prophets and you've killed every one of them. John the Baptist being the last one, you killed him. So I'll send my son. What do they do? Killed him. And by the way, the day is coming. The day is coming that it will be your end. And you will lose power and authority. And their reaction was, surely not. By the way, the exact same reaction that happens today. When we tell people the truth of Jesus Christ, that he is coming back one day. And let me tell you, if you don't submit to him, if you don't surrender to him, if you don't trust him as Lord and Savior, you will be crushed. He talks about the cornerstone. Look what he says right here. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Many people dismiss that message. And what do they say? Surely not. It's not going to happen. But the Lord is clear. He is coming back. So they've got to figure out how to get rid of Jesus, and they think they've come up with a plan. So they ask him another question. And this time, they send spies, if you will, and they flatter him. And they say great things about the Lord. In verse 21, this is what these spies say. Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Man, they butter him up. Surely, you're a great guy. You're a great teacher. You teach the things of God. And then they ask a question. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? Well, here's the second question that you better get ready to answer if you're a believer, if you're all in. It's not that they'll just ask you about the authority. But how do you live? How do you live your life? I read this quote the other day. It said, if you want to start a good argument, start talking about religion or politics. Either one. You want to start a good argument, start talking about religion or politics. Either one, and it'll start a good argument. But if you want to start a war, bring your religion into your politics. And you know that's what they're talking about here. They're talking about a war. A great example of this is simply look at our last election. And we had people who were once friends battling each other. Because one would say, well, my religious view is this, and that's the reason I'm voting here. Well, my religious view is this, and that's why I'm voting here. And you bring this in, and next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving, and we're being told by the newscasters, you probably better not even talk about the election at Thanksgiving. Don't even bring it up at the table. And you have families war against one another. These guys, they show up and they pretend to admire Jesus. Oh, you teach right. Now tell us, what should we do with our money? Should we give it to Caesar? And you realize what they're trying to do. If Jesus says, no, don't give it to Caesar, you know what's going to happen. Pilate or Herod's going to come in there and kill him, just like that. We can get them to do our dirty work for us. Isn't it interesting that one minute, think about this for a minute, one minute they're asking him, by what authority do you do this? And the next minute they're going, should we buck this authority? Should we get rid of it? Let's just don't pay taxes. I mean, you know their whole goal was, we want to overthrow the Roman government. Is he going to be the one? They believed that the Messiah, that's what he was going to do. He was going to come in and they were going to have a military coup, overthrow the Roman government, and now Israel would be the world power. So is this a way to begin to do it? Well, Jesus doesn't fall for this. It tells us in verse 23 that he perceived their craftiness. And while they're waiting for a yes or no, should we pay tribute? Yes or no? Which one? He asked them a question. Show me a denarius whose likeness and inscription does it have? Of course, their answer is, well, it's Caesar's. It's Caesar's. Then he said this, then render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That is not the answer they were waiting to hear. They wanted a yes or no. You realize what Jesus just told them to do, right? He told them, you pay tribute to an oppressive, cruel government. That's what I want you to do. You pay tribute to them. I read this thing the other day. It was interesting. It said, you know, how do you explain when bad things happen to good people? And the last line said, that's only happened once, and he volunteered. Jesus is telling them, you pay tribute to a government that he knows that in days would torture and kill him. You pay tribute to them. People, we are to pay taxes. We are to submit to the law. We ought to pray. We're told to pray for the government leaders and even participate in the public civil life. But listen to me. We are not to attempt to control and bring about a Christian society. That is tough, because that's what we want to do. I'm not saying that we don't address social issues. I'm not saying that we don't vote our conscience. We're very privileged. By the way, the Jewish people had no vote. Caesar was Caesar, and they had to submit. But the reality is that anything that was given to Caesar, it was God's anyway. Because it will only be Caesar's as long as God wants it to be Caesar's. It all belongs to him anyway. So he's telling, look, being faithful to the Lord does not mean that you don't have to be obedient and submissive to the local government. You must be. And by the way, he's also saying, not only is the Lord telling you to rebel against the government, he's saying the government can't keep you from the Lord. The government can't stop us from acting as God's people. They can't. They can't stop us from praying. Seriously? No government can stop that. No, they can take prayer out of schools. So? I'm not saying I want that, but they can't stop students. They can't stop you from praying. You can be changing classes praying. They have no idea. They can't stop us from worship. No, Paul, they could. They could come in and shut down our churches. Your life is worship. This is just a part of corporate worship, but your life should be worship. They can't stop you from being obedient. Now, hear me on this. I'm not talking about the difference. I'm not talking about when government law is in conflict with God's law. We know which one supersedes. But the government cannot stop you from being faithful to the Lord. The government cannot stop you from loving the way that the Lord tells us to love. The government can't do any of that. You really believe that the government, even if our government tomorrow said, that's it, we are shutting down Christianity. I got news for you. It will explode. And if you don't believe that, be here on Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ, 12 disciples, actually by that time, 11 disciples. And yes, there were some other followers located in Jerusalem. We are on the other side of the world today. And we follow Christ. The government will not shut down Christianity. Actually, when that happens, it explodes. So let me ask you, church, do you live a life that is both submissive to the government and one that honors the Lord? I could ask questions about this all day. We want authority to do what we want to do. But let me ask you something. If we live our lives in rebellion to civil law, why do we think that we will be submissive to God's law? Because, again, wrap your brains around this for a second. If you are living your life in rebellion to civil law, you are already in rebellion to God's law. And if you don't believe me, I would suggest that you read Romans chapter 13. Be submissive. Let me just make one observation, something that's a hot button issue today. I'll probably cut this out of the recording because just this line. I do own a handgun. But what would you do if the government came in and said, we are confiscating all guns. You don't get them anymore. According to what the Lord says, we're to follow the law. And you can give me all day long about it's our right to bear arms. And I'm glad we have that right. But things do change. And we are to be submissive. Well, Paul, you can't tell me that. Man, we need to be ready to fight against the government. I'm telling you, they are way oppressed compared to us. Are you kidding me? They are under foreign rule. Rome runs Jerusalem. Rome rules over Israel. And he's saying, you pay tribute to them. We don't just follow the laws that we agree with. We follow the law. And again, I've said this before, submission only happens when you disagree. When you agree, you're just going along. And right now, some of you are going, did someone pay you off, man? This is tough stuff. Let's do something that's not so hypothetical. I really like driving 55 down Westlake Houston Parkway. 40 is way too slow. Follow the law. Our lives should demonstrate what the Lord is saying right here. Pay unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay unto the Lord what is unto the Lord. That's a lot more than just money. By the way, I would love to have these conversations with you. I'd love to know your thoughts on these things. Because I want you to know, I was going, man, that is tough. What if I don't agree? Give this unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. Period. No discussion on that. But what else? What other kind of question? Last kind of question that I see in this passage is, why do you even believe? If you are a Christian, if you are all in, if you are a believer, believe me, people are going to ask, why do you even believe that? Why are you all in? When the Sadducees come up and they begin to ask Jesus this question about this woman who's been married seven times, they have zero interest in the resurrection. Zero. They don't care. They don't believe in it. The whole deal is, I want to question him about his belief. They're not trying to figure out, man, I want to learn from him. That's not it. I'm not going to go into all the things that the Sadducees did or didn't believe, but it does tell us right there, they don't believe in life after death, so why are they asking about it? They didn't believe in the resurrection. They just wanted to attack the belief itself. And I've got to laugh at this because guess what they do? They use Scripture. They use Old Testament to do it. And how many times do we as believers today, people use the Old Testament to try to get us, to trip us up. Say, I don't even know why you believe that. You know what the Old Testament says? You don't even live by that anymore. You believe in the Bible? I do. Well, you don't live by this. I found this verse in Deuteronomy chapter whatever. And do you know this? You don't even live by that. Again, asking questions has nothing to do with, are they interested in the Lord? Are they interested in your faith? They just are going, why are you interested in your faith? Do you even believe? Do you even know what you believe? I've often shared my faith, and I get asked this question. Some of you, you've heard this example. I'll share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll tell them the gospel, that Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have eternity with the Lord. And I'll hear this question. So you think Jesus Christ is the only way? Yes, I do. What about that guy in deep, dark Africa who's never heard the name of Jesus? That is not a question that someone is all of a sudden so concerned about a soul in Africa. That is not what that question is about. That question is this. Surely there's another way. If it's only Jesus and that guy hadn't heard Jesus, surely God would not condemn that guy. We get questions all the time from the Old Testament. Really? You serve a God who supported slavery? You heard that one? Really? Do you realize that God is a megalomaniac, and if you don't know what that is, it's someone who's only interested in his own glory. That's who you serve. Heard that one. You know that your God is a racist. He picked a people group. He didn't pick the whole world. He picked a people group. He's a racist. You serve that God? You know that God is a sexist, right? Because he had certain things that were for men and certain things that were for women, and he separated, and there's certain passages that say something that are about men and about women, and he's a sexist. You know that your Lord, your God, is a genocidal murderer, right? I mean, he wiped out people groups. You really believe in him? That's where your faith is? Can you prove that Jesus rose from the dead? Can you prove that there's an afterlife? Do you really follow an ancient book? Do you really follow that? You know, we are so much more advanced than this. If God is love, why is there so much hate? If God is all powerful, then tell me, why didn't he just fix everything? I mean, surely you've heard some of those questions, and if you've never heard any of them, let me ask you this. Why aren't you irritating people to where they ask them? And when they ask those questions, know this, that 99.9% of them aren't really asking because they want to know the answers. They're just going, why do you believe that junk? Just know that if you irritate people, they will ask you questions when they're not interested in Christianity at all. And they wonder why you're interested in Christianity as well. There'll be people today who will leave here and they'll go, well, you didn't answer that question. I'm not going to answer all those questions right now. I think I do know the answers to those. And I know why I serve and why I love the Lord. But by the end of this, Jesus knows that they're simply trying to dismiss him. They're trying to discredit Christ. It says, by the end of this discourse, they no longer dared to ask him any questions. They're done. They can't trip him up. They can't make him turn against the government. They're done. But Jesus still had one more question for them. And it's when you get to verse 41, he said, but he said to them. So they no longer dared to ask him any questions. They were done. No more questions for Christ. But he said to them, how can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son? I mean, I have a son, but no one would say he's my Lord. So how could Jesus be the son of David, but also be the Lord of David? And that's what Christ is asking. And do you know why they can't answer that question? Because they don't get it. And those of you who know Christ know exactly what he's saying. I mean, the fact that there's been people who say, you know, you're actually a polytheist. Look at this. The Lord said to my Lord, there's two gods there. Nope. That's the Father and Son. The Lord said to my Lord, the Father said to the Son, sit at my right hand. And I can truly believe that he is fully divine. He is equal with God the Father. He is equal to God the Spirit. Fully divine. There's nothing that's been made that hadn't been made through him. He is the Word of God and he is God. He tells us that. So he's fully divine, always been, always will be. But there was a moment in time, 2,000 years ago, that he was born of the Virgin Mary. And he is in the line of King David, and therefore, son of David. For those who dismiss Christ, for those who dismiss Christianity, they would say, that's insane that you would believe that. And yet, I know it to be true. Amen. I know it to be so true that my eternal destiny rests on that right there. And if that's not true, which it is, it's true, if I But Paul says, if that's not true, we are the most to be pitied. He finally ends with the very ones who speak against that. Beware of them. Beware of them. I'm going to tell you, it seems like every other day I see an article or I see a new TV show. There's one coming out now. I'm going, oh man, I'm going to be doing some writing. A movie, they will absolutely outright deny these things. Going to deny them. He says, when they're, and in hearing, and in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes, beware of them. And he basically goes on to say, because they're only interested in themselves and their power, their glory, their gain. That's what they're interested in. And they will do anything to get it. They will even prey on the weak. Even the widows' houses, they devour those for themselves. And he tells them, they will receive the greater condemnation. Hell will not be pleasant for anyone, but especially for these, the greater condemnation. So if you're all in, just know you're going to be asked these questions. You're going to be asked, what gives you the right? What gives us the right to say something is right or wrong? What gives us the right to think the things that we think, to live the way that we live? Because you're going to be asked, how do you live? How do you put up with, I mean, it seems like the world is going this way. Well, I'm not, by the way, this is just, I'm just passing through. And this is not my final destination. I just live in obedience to the Lord. How do you live? And why do you believe? I know y'all have heard this over and over, and it's still one of my favorite memes in recent times, but and it's one of the things I'm trying to teach my children. It is not enough to know what you believe, but why you believe it. If all you know is what you believe, you will be torn down just like that. They will have a billion questions to make you doubt what you believe, but you better know why you believe it. Why? If you've heard some of this today and you're going, I just don't know, Paul. I just don't know. And you want to know why I believe it? Come ask me. I'll be more than happy to tell you. And I may be very irritating to you. For those who are perishing, I will be the stench of death to you. To those who are being saved, I will be the sweet aroma of Christ. That's what Scripture says. Stench of death, that's very irritating. You will immediately go, I want away from that. I don't want anything to do with that. No, 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 no. Get me away. Sweet aroma of Christ, you're going to go, give me some more of that. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to know you more, so I'll fall more in love with you. And as I fall more in love with you, I will know you more. That's our prayer when it comes to the Lord. So we're going to have an invitation. And that's a chance for you to respond to this. Believers, let me just ask you, are you irritating to others? I just want to get along, Paul. I just want to get along. Again, if you think that you can go through this world as a Christian and not be irritating, you are doing something that not even Christ could do. He irritated people so much that they killed him for it. They didn't want to hear the truth that Christ was bringing. So believers, I'll ask the question, are you irritating? And if you're not, why? Maybe it's because you're just hanging out on the fringes of Christianity. Don't want to cause any waves. Don't want to bother anybody. I just want to get along with everybody. That is not what we are called to do. We are called to preach the gospel. And when we do that, it will irritate. So maybe during the invitation, you just need to come forward and pray. And that may be a prayer that you're not used to. Lord, I'm not irritating enough. Help me. It may be that you're an unbeliever. And maybe today the Lord is convicting you. And he's telling you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Put your faith in me. We see over and over in Scripture, John the Baptist was saying, repent and be baptized. Peter, repent and be baptized. Over and over. How are we to be saved? Repent and be baptized. And maybe this morning you need to come forward and say, I'm repenting. And I am turning from my sin. I want to follow the Lord. When can I get baptized? We actually have a date already scheduled. So what would the Lord have you do this morning? What would he have you do? I'll be here to receive you, but you've got to do business with the Lord. And isn't it amazing that in today's sermon, the Lord has just kept the children quiet so you could hear what the Lord wanted to say to you today. What will you do? You respond to him this morning. Don't leave going, I should have done this. I should have done that. Don't walk out of here, get in your car going, I have regrets. You respond to the Lord if he's telling you to move this morning. Reuben, would you come lead us as we have the invitation? Would you please bow your heads and let me pray with you?